Good morning. If you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to look at something that I don't know, I've never really heard anybody ever teach on it, so that's not the only reason that I'm teaching on it, because it just keeps coming back up in my spirit. 2 Corinthians 5. I didn't give a scripture verse yet. You're getting ahead of me. But we've been talking about the eyewitness, and we've been talking about revival. Last week we talked about revival. We explored a little bit of that, and we began to come to a consensus that what Robert Coleman called it, he identified it this way. He said, the awakening or quickening of God's people to their true nature and purpose. The awakening or quickening of God's people to their true nature and purpose. He called that revival. When that begins to happen for a people group, if it happens for one, there's a restoration. But if it begins to happen for a group, it's revival. To begin to understand who they really are, if we begin to understand and recognize what God is doing in us, both as an individual and as a community. And the desire, therefore, is to begin to reflect and look like Christ to the rest of the world. To begin what I call to represent. See, there are times when we're to go forth and we're to represent Christ. We're put into different situations and we're called to represent His nature and His desire for that moment. When we look and we desire to come in alignment with Him and represent, then that automatically takes us out of our moment of selfishness. Because when you're representing Christ, you're not representing Chuck. You're not representing you. When we begin to desire to come and represent who He is, automatically that brings us into a place where we're aligning ourselves with His true calling and purpose in our life. Each and every one of us was called to do something, and every one of us has the opportunity, even each day, to represent. And so we've been talking about those things. Maybe I'll just explain that a little bit more in a few moments. But I just wanted to call an awareness that this is a journey that we're on together. This is a journey where we're looking to discover what God is really calling us to be. We're looking to represent Him in a brand new way. We're looking to make a difference in our environment. We're looking to make a change in our own lives. Because, unfortunately, the old nature doesn't really want to do all those things. The old nature doesn't really have a lot of desire to do anything that has God involved. But Jesus. Remember, say, but Jesus. Hallelujah. So I think that's a good place that we can just jump into the message here, which is 2 Corinthians 5. We'll just go to verse 1. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Inasmuch as we, having put on, shall not be found naked. For indeed we are in this tent we groan, burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now He who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, and not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body than to be at home with the Lord. And see, this is not as some would typically look at it as some scripture that you might say at a funeral or something. It's talking about the time when you pass out of this life and then into death. But what the reality is, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about our new nature. It's talking about letting go of the old man, all those restraints of the old man and begin to obtain those things that we're called to be. To begin to grab a hold of the new nature, the born-again nature, the born-again spirit, the spirit of life that's available to us. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, look down at verse 17. See, it's all in one passage here. Verse 17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have come. New things have come, rather. New things have come. When we begin to recognize this new nature within us, then we begin to understand that new things have come. We don't have to respond in the old way. Because God, in His infinite wisdom, has given us a new nature. And not only did He give us a new nature, but He also gave us the Holy Spirit to come and bring us into that place of transformation. He brought the Holy Spirit to come because the Holy Spirit's whole job is to change who we are so we become more and more Christ-like. That's His nature. That's His assignment. That's what He wants to do. Because, see, Holy Spirit, He's heaven sent. Your new nature is heaven sent. What I'm submitting to you this morning is that you have an identity crisis, maybe. What you have is a dual nature. You're a dual citizen. See, Enrique is a dual citizen, even here in the United States. See, he holds an absolutely full citizenship in the United States. But because of the nature of the laws within his country, he wasn't required to give up his citizenship in Colombia. So he's also a full citizen of the country of Colombia. You're a dual citizen. See, your body is fully a citizen of this world. But your spirit, when you've accepted Him, when you've accepted Christ, when you allowed His born-again nature to come inside of you, the Spirit of heaven, the presence of heaven, the kingdom of God itself came to take up residence in you. And so that makes you a dual citizen. Think about it. Think about it. You're a dual citizen. And see, there's purpose for that dual citizenship because God is going to take that dual citizenship because, see, now there's a part of you that is purely heaven and there's a part of you that's still attached to this earth. So now He has someone He can use who has jurisdiction in this world. He has someone He can use who has a spirit and a nature like His and a body to carry out that which He needs to get done. Someone who can come and begin to assert a prayer that came purely out of heaven and release it right here in this earth. Someone who began to hear an assignment that came purely out of heaven and begins to walk it out being the hands and feet of Jesus. Being the extension of His very character and purpose. This is what He's called us into with our dual citizenship. The purpose of our dual citizenship is to release heaven in this earth. How many of you have prayed the Lord's Prayer? Every one of us, especially those Lutheran ones. And the Catholic ones. But every one of us, okay. What are we doing when we're praying the Lord's Prayer? We're asking for heaven to come to earth. Well, guess what? It did, and it's called Pam. It did, okay, and it's called Steve. Because heaven is coming and touching earth in these places. Heaven is touching earth in you. You say, well, I'm not sure I believe that, Pastor. Just hold your place here in 2 Corinthians. I'm sure we'll refer back to it. But turn with me to Ephesians 2. Verse 19. We'll back up to verse 18. Okay, it says, for through Him we both have our access, both being the Gentiles and the Jews, both have our access in one spirit to the Father. And so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Your fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Go to Philippians 3. In Philippians 3, verse 20 says this, for our citizenship is in heaven, for which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, He will transform the body of our humble state into the conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He is, even to subject all things to Himself. And I'm here to tell you that it's not just when you come to the point of death, but He's looking to transform you today. He's looking to transform you right now into the power and the glory of His majesty. He's looking to transform you into the place where you begin to look and operate like Jesus. Because see, in 1 John 2, He tells you that you have an anointing, and that anointing is there to release Christ on this earth. That anointing has come to come and allow you to be His vessel, to allow you to walk in the knowledge of who He is. And as you walk in the knowledge of who He is, to release that virtue upon others. Maybe it's the healing virtue. Maybe it's the virtue of righteousness. Maybe it's the virtue of salvation. But you're here to release His virtue in your situation. To begin to change and be an agent of change. So He has given you the power and authority in this world. And that power and authority, everything was made subject to Christ. And then as He is, so are we in this world. So the natural things of this world are made subject to the one who walks, knowing that Christ is in him. The natural things of the world will begin to respond to you and have been responding to many people in many, many wonderful ways as you begin to hear testimonies of healing, testimonies of miraculous things taking place, because the natural elements of this world will respond to the one who understands their authority in Christ. We talked earlier about the light. If you flip a light switch on in a dark room, there's no argument. The light comes and the darkness leaves. In the same way, God has given you the power and authority to interoperate with the natural things in this world. When He calls and He places within you the light, you have the understanding of what that light can do. Then when you walk in the darkness, it's already on its way. When you understand what's in you, then you can stand in the place and in the assurance of knowing that when you're standing in front of somebody with some devils in them, that's going to go away. When He was first teaching me about this, what He told me was this. He said, the only person in the room who doesn't know what's going to happen, Chuck, is you. And He said, because the devils know you have authority. I know I've given you authority. So the only one we're really trying to convince here is you. But that's where we all are. We got to start somewhere. So what He began to show me, in a way, just a mind picture to begin to understand, how do I deal with this? Because, Lord, okay, I hear you saying I have authority, but how do I begin to take that authority? How do I begin to walk in that authority? And He said this. He began to show me, I don't know if you've ever seen that movie Ghost, where He just begins to wrap Himself around her as she's doing the pottery thing. He said, I want you to see me wrap myself around you. And as you command that devil to do something, as you command that spirit to do something, then I want you to see my hands come around you and do what you just told it to do. And you know what? My effectiveness and understanding of it changed overnight. Because I began to understand, it's not about me. It's about Him. And when you can see that and you just trust and have that faith in that, your faith in that, your ability to stand in confidence of what He's already said is what makes the difference. Your situations in the natural will respond in the same way when you begin to understand that it's Him working through you. Because it's His nature, that new nature that He's placed within you is the nature of Christ, and so therefore it's Him working in you to make those changes to your situation. He's calling you to stand up in a brand new way. He's calling you to stand up in a brand new way, to recognize the spirit of life that's in you. To recognize the spirit of life and to recognize that the Holy Spirit has come in alignment with the kingdom of God and it's in you. You say, well, how do I know that this is not referring to the sometime after I pass away? Because He says right now, I've gave you this Holy Spirit as a pledge. In verse 5, he says, I gave you the Holy Spirit as a pledge. Well, why would you need the Holy Spirit as a pledge when you've already passed away? There you're going to enjoy Holy Spirit for eternity. You're going to enjoy this fellowship for eternity. But what he's trying to tell you is that I've given you this Holy Spirit because it's a pledge, it's an earnest, it's a guarantee of my contract with you that heaven is in you. That heaven has come to live with you, because in John 14, 16, it tells us that he has sent the Holy Spirit to be with us and in us forever. Now that bears some other things thinking about it. When the Holy Spirit has truly come to be in you forever, are you saved? Just thinking about it. Because see, there's no reason that the Holy Spirit's going to be there any other way. So Holy Spirit comes in with us, and he's going to be with us now and forever. If Holy Spirit's now and forever and he's in earnest, it's beginning to give us as a proof and a guarantee of our contract, a guarantee of our destination, then therefore some portion of our destination is already right here with us. Heaven's right here with us. We're a dual citizen. The very power of God, the very molecular changer of God has come to take residence in you. The one who brooded over the waters of the earth until God spoke and said, let there be light. Brooded over the waters of the earth and began to just release and call forth the mountain. The molecule changer. He resides with you. We're called to be a dual citizen so that we can be an agent of change. An agent of change because we have to begin to recognize that you are a spiritual force. When we recognize that we are a spiritual force, now we can begin to recognize that things don't have to stay the same as they are right now. I know what it's like to look at family situations and go, God, will this ever change? I know what it's like to look at financial situations and go, God, will this ever change? I know what it's like to look into most of the situations of life and go, Lord, what is this? But I also know that he's called me to be an agent of change. And I know that as I look over the history of my own life and my own Christianity and my own faith, that he's used me to affect change, not only in my life, but in the lives of others. And I believe that every one of us is called to do the same. Because you can have that same confidence because you have the same kingdom of God, the same Holy Spirit, the same new nature in you. Nothing's going to stay the same. See, we're called to represent and to be something that people want. I've come to a place where it's not enough just to get by. It's not enough just to go work 9 to 5 and just get by. I want to make a difference. Not just in my life, but in somebody else's life. I want to make whatever difference God will allow me to make. I want to make a difference. And if that means I have to change something in me, then let's get on with the change. Because see, if I can get on with the change and now all of a sudden I can affect somebody else, I can affect more people, let's do it. If I can get on with the change and overcome my own inadequacies, my own insecurities, and my own fears and doubts and worries and my own angers and all those other things that I used to always walk in, if I can overcome all those things and make a greater difference in someone else's life or more people's lives, let's do it. That's what Dad's calling us to. Be a difference maker. Be a difference maker. Sometimes that takes a little effort. Sometimes that means we got to go back to school. Sometimes that means we got to do a little extra work on the side. Sometimes we have to do a little something we got to get up a little earlier or stay up a little later so that we can pray a little longer. Whatever it takes, we got to start looking at it and understand it and desire it and walk in it. When I first was a Christian, I used to go to everything everywhere. If there was a meeting, I was there. But the only problem with that is that when you're doing that, you're living off of other people's anointing. I call that the OP anointing, other people's. See, when you're living off of OP anointing, then what you're not doing is developing any of your own. God is calling you to develop your own anointing. He's calling you to walk in your own anointing. And that doesn't mean that it's going to come automatically. It means it's going to take a little effort sometimes. Not because God's unwilling, because He's definitely willing. He's desiring to draw you into it. He's desiring to bring you into it. But what He needs for you to do is to walk in the fullness of that. And that sometimes takes a whole lot of transformation in our own head. Because see, the things that held us back from that, they got to be adjusted up here. Our thinking has to be adjusted. Our vision has to be adjusted. Our desire has to be adjusted. And that's going to come with some expense. You're going to expend some time in prayer. You're going to have to expend some time allowing God to make a difference in your life. But He can and He will and He desires to. He's just looking for us to desire to. He's looking for us to want to. Got to get a want to. See, we want to represent something that people want to have. We want to represent something that has an allure to other people. That they can look and go, I don't know what's going on across the street, but I want what he's got. We should look there physically, financially. We should look there spiritually where somebody looks there and go, wow. How'd you do it? You don't look any different than you did 10 years ago. People need to want what you got. They need to want something that's in you. If you're broke, busted, and disgusted, nobody's going to care what your message is. I like Enrique. He's always dressed extra nice. He's representing. It's his way of representing. To me, I don't have that same thing. But he's always representing. Sometimes we look and we're doing things and we're trying to be Jesus to people and we don't even recognize what kind of an atmosphere we're sending off, what we're carrying. Sometimes that atmosphere can be simply the look on our face. Have you ever seen those cars and you look at it and it's all rusted out and it's all broken down, but all over the whole thing, basically holding it together, is these bumper stickers saying, I love Jesus. Now, does that really impress you? Does that want you to come to Jesus? I remember before I got saved, I used to go to Toledo Bend every spring, and I'd spend a week over there with a friend of mine, and we'd fish until we couldn't fish anymore. And for a while, there was a guy and his wife living there. They had a car that had all these messages about Jesus all written all over it. It was an old beat-up, like a late 50s or early 60s model Dodge that had all kinds of messages all scribbled on it in black paint. And they were living there at the lake, at a campsite, in a tent. And this was their way of dealing with their faith. And their way of embracing their faith was to live as hermits out in the middle of the campsite, thinking that they were representing Jesus. I can tell you that I thought lots of things about them, but it never drew me to want to know this Jesus. It kind of drew me to want to go, back up, just a couple more feet. Maybe I'll stay on the other side of the campground. We got to look and think, is my life representing God? And if it's not representing God, then what do I need to do to make a difference? What do I need to do to have impact on the world that's around me? Because that's what He's looking for us to do. He's looking for us to bring change, a change that comes and brings the order of heaven to earth. bringing the order of heaven, the atmosphere of heaven to earth. Ephesians 1:3 says, all spiritual blessings are laid up for us where? In heaven. In Christ Jesus. He's given us all spiritual blessings. So how are we going to do this? See, that's why our dual nature is coming into play here. Because, see, our dual nature is accessing that which has been given to us in heaven and bringing it here and letting it be represented here on earth. So that we can become one who actually makes a change to the environment around us. It's more than just a financial blessing. It's a blessing of family. It's a blessing of relationship. It's a blessing of fullness and wholeness and health and healing. Those are the things that he wants us to be able to release. You know, one of the things that I'm praying for on a very consistent basis right now is the grace for relationship. A relationship with the Holy Spirit that I'm exploring. I want God's grace to show me how to interface with the Holy Spirit in a brand new way. I want it to show me how to interface and allow Holy Spirit to become my best friend. Because I know that if Holy Spirit is my best friend, things are going to happen in the environment around me. And it's not because I'm doing something to affect it. It's because the presence of God is going to be going and doing it for me. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking for. See, this passage here in 2 Corinthians, what does it say? Verse 2, for indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. See, there's a change, and the change starts in you. And that change is going to require a birthing, and the birthing is going to be part of that groaning. That groaning is coming because there's a birthing that's happening. There's a birthing, and any woman who's ever been in childbirth knows that that birth comes with a groan. And a couple of them. And if you're in our situation, why, birth, I didn't make that mistake the second time. But on the birth of the first one, why, I leaned over her and was trying to touch her cute little head and make her feel better. And she said, get out of my focal point. You know, if I'd have known about devils then, I'd have been casting that thing out. You know? I was trying to be nice. It was fun. But see, I gained wisdom. I didn't do that the second time. I didn't get nowhere near that focal point. It's like, okay, I'll pat your head over here. Hallelujah. Change starts in us and has to be birthed. It requires an effort. Everything that we do in the Spirit is birth in the Spirit. It's birth because, see, we have to bring it out of heaven and release it here. But you have the faith for it because you already brought by faith. You already came into this place of salvation. And if there was ever anything that the enemy could have done to keep you from doing anything, he would have kept you from finding salvation. He would have kept you from accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And because he couldn't keep you from doing that, he can't keep you from doing any of the other things that you desire and put your heart to. When you put your mind on it, you put your focus on it, God's going to release it. It's a place of exchange of the old for new. There's a birthing. As this birthing takes place, there's an exchange that takes place. And out of that exchange, there's a revealing of what is to come. There's a revealing of God's plan and purpose. There's a revealing of His nature that happens through you. Basically, just like what it said in verse 17, where the old creature is passed away and behold, all things are become new. There's a revelation of the new that is happening and released as you go through that birthing process. It'd be nice if we could get saved and automatically everything that we needed to know was already right there. And in a way, it is because it's already contained within the new nature, but it takes some exploring. And it takes some willingness to let loose of our old nature. You can get saved and stay the same way and sit on the same pew for 50 years and never change. Or you can get saved and embrace what God's called you to do. Embracing Him will automatically bring the change. embracing the fullness of this Holy Spirit that's within us will automatically bring the change. But it comes to a place of exchange. Therefore, verse 6, therefore always be of good courage, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. There has to be an acceptance letter. It's a walk of faith. It's a walk of faith. He's drawing us into His place of faith. And that's another reason why we know He's not speaking of the sweet by and by. He's speaking of right now because, see, when we get to heaven, we don't need faith. You'll have no need whatsoever for faith in heaven because all things are apparent. All things will be opened and revealed to you. There's nothing that has yet to be revealed in heaven. But here, we have to accept it by faith. Here, we have to walk in it by faith. Here, we operate in it by faith. I loved what Tina's message was Thursday night, and it was interesting because she started saying that, and she started saying some things about birthing, and I was like, you're getting awfully close to my message. Because these are what God is wanting to do in this moment, in this hour. He's wanting to stir our faith. This time in this season, we're recognizing Christ. We're recognizing the Christmas season. Also, we need to recognize that it's an operation of faith. To operate in a new nature within you, it's going to require some faith because it's going to take faith to change. It's going to take faith to walk in the newness of who He's called you to be. He told me to take no condemnation. Take on no condemnation, for there's no faith in condemnation. One of the greatest assignments against the body of Christ is condemnation. Why? Because we so easily fall prey to it. We so easily believe it, and then we enter into self-condemnation, and all we're doing is self-condemnation is nothing more than agreement with the enemy. You can recognize that you have a deficiency in an area and you can find and understand a holy and righteous conviction, but when you step over into condemnation and you start agreeing with the enemy, we don't have to stay there. He's not called us to walk in condemnation. He's called us to walk in righteousness. He's called us to understand the righteousness that He's already given to us. It says here, faith does come with conviction. When the Lord convicts you of something, when He shows you something, when I hear someone give a word of prophecy and it's a word of correction, there should be conviction in it and there should be a power and authority to change in it. If it doesn't have those elements, then it's not a true word of prophecy, of correction. Because, see, God's correction will come with a power to overcome. It will come with the excitement and the enticement, the desire to gain victory over this thing. There'll be a recognition of what needs to change, but there'll also be a recognition that you've been given the authority to make the change. It comes with God's territory. See, we've been so used to a lot of religious thinking that when condemnation comes down from the pulpit or condemnation comes from somewhere else, we just accept it. Because we don't know different. But it's not God's way. Will He bring a genuine conviction? Absolutely. But see, conviction will lead you to life because the conviction will lead you to a place of repentance and that leads you to a place of life. But condemnation only leads you to death. Condemnation leads you to more sin, to a recognizing and a focusing in on the sin. And when you recognize and you start focusing in on sin, what are you drawn to? More sin. The end of sin is death. But His holy conviction will bring you to a place of life, to a place of increase, a place of recognizing the righteousness that He's put within you. So faith leads you to life. Entering in is a process of faith and an exercise of faith. See, you've been given the ability to enter in to God's presence, to enter into His holiness, to enter into an interaction with Him. And it's an exercise of your faith. You know, one of the things that the Lord asked me one day, I was driving along down the highway, and he said, what are you doing with your faith today? And I had to admit, at that moment in that day, I wasn't doing anything with my faith. I didn't have anything that I was believing for long term at that particular moment. I didn't have anything that I was believing for right then, that moment, that day. And I didn't have any understanding of even how to access God in the way that we understand it now. But see, the accessing of God is an exercise of your faith. Accessing His presence, accessing this relationship that you have made available to you, it's an exercise of your faith. Condemnation, guilt, and shame come to move you out of the place of faith. Faith can move you into holiness, for holiness is a choice. A choosing to embrace that which pleases God. See, faith pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's what it tells us in Hebrews 11:6. Faith pleases God. But see, you deciding to move into holiness, you deciding to walk in holiness, that's something that's going to please God also, because it requires faith to get there. Your decision to walk out what He's putting in you pleases God, and it's an exercise of your faith. Holiness is an exercise of faith. It's not something that we attain to just because we desire. It's something we attain to because we allow Him to operate in us. Faith will expand your possibilities, while condemnation will cause you to shrink back. Think about it. Faith causes you to want to reach out and do something more. Faith always causes you to be bigger, tougher, stronger, better. But faith will cause you to want to reach out past yourself. Faith is about reaching out past yourself. But see, condemnation causes you to want to shrink back. It causes you to not want to approach God. It causes you to not want to approach the righteousness that He's put within inside you. It causes you not to want to believe what God has said about you. You know, when we have troubles hearing from God, a lot of times it's really the result of condemnation operating in our life. So there's a simple solution. Yield that condemnation over to God, because He'll reveal what is truth and what is not. Faith will always come alongside to release multiplication for your efforts. Your multiplication comes through faith. There's so much that you can do in the natural, and those can be very wonderful, good things. But God is calling you not only to do that which you can do in the natural, He's causing you to do things that you can't even totally begin to comprehend until you step into faith. It's not natural to support a whole group of kids and feed them every day just out of your own pocketbook unless you step into faith. It's what Enrique, he stepped into it, and he still does. George Mueller wound up supporting 1,000 orphans, giving them a home and a place to stay and food to eat and jobs and training, because he stepped into faith. Now, he didn't start at the 1,000 orphan level. He started with 3. But every day, he allowed God to stretch his faith. I think it was like 25-year period. He moved from 3 to 1,000. Because God stretched him as he stretched and allowed his faith to bring the increase. And it became easier for him to support the 1,000 without ever telling anybody a need. This man never told anyone a need. And by the end, when he was supporting the 1,000, it was easier for him to do that than it was the 3. Because the operation of faith. Faith brings vision and purpose into focus and then into reality. Faith wants to come alongside you and begin to alter your reality. It wants to begin to come alongside you and make you aware of this dual citizenship and operate in you through this dual citizenship, so you're freely exchanging the things of heaven with the things of earth. So that you're bringing the operation of heaven and releasing it here on this earth. So that you're operating in the fullness of that dual citizenship that He's given you. And you've become an agent of change. Because see, God has given you a supernatural power and authority out of heaven to be released here on earth. And you're the vessel He chose. You're the vessel He's releasing it through. So no matter what your situation, no matter what you're looking at, He can release His faith and His purpose. See, when we come to the faith of access, we don't even have to operate in our own faith. The Word says in Ephesians 3 and 12 that we can access Him by the faith of Jesus Christ. I don't even have to have my own faith to come into the place of access. I can step in knowing that it's God's faith that brought me here. It's Jesus' faith that brought me here. And Lord, I'm going to be here and I'm going to be next to You until I get something of my own to operate in. If you want a place to start, that's right there. Say, Lord, I'm coming to fellowship with You. And I'm coming not because of my own faith, Lord, because I don't feel that I have the value of it yet. So, Lord, I'm just coming by Your faith. Because You said I could. And see, as you begin to step into it and operate in it, then suddenly He can release through it. And suddenly you'll find that that faith becomes your faith. And then your faith now is ready to grow. Ready to change. Ready to exercise the rights of your dual citizenship. That dual citizenship and those rights, just the same as you would here on earth, between two countries. See, Enrique has no problem switching, going from one country to the other. He can do it as he wills. You know what? We have the same ability to access heaven or to access this earth. It's been given to us. The right belongs to you. The right belongs to you. God wants to release your purpose. If you'll turn with me to Hebrews 11, the great chapter of faith. It's the, what I'll call the Hall of Fame of faith, Hebrews 11. And it says, by faith, Noah. And it says in there, by faith, Abraham, and by faith, Sarah, and by faith, Moses, and by faith, Daniel, and by faith, all these began to affect their generation. In the Hall of Fame of Faith, every one of these were agents of change. Every one of these began to recognize that God had done something in them, and they had given them something, and they could release a difference into the world around them. Every one of these men and women were people by faith. See, Rahab had the faith. And because she had faith in what God was going to do there in Jericho, she didn't perish with the rest of Jericho. By faith, the walls of Jericho came down because Joshua stood in that faith that he got from the Lord. God has made you people of impact for your situation. Those walls of Jericho looked like an impossible situation, and yet by faith they came down. The walls that have surrounded you in your life, by faith they can come down. The walls that have separated you from your loved one, by faith those things can come down. By faith, God can make an impact that changes you. By faith, He can begin to change your family, but He can begin to change your workplace. He can begin to change your business or your ministry. He can begin to change all those things that affect you because He wants to release you as an agent of change. He wants to release in you the vision and the purpose that He's called you to, and as He releases that in you, He gives you the ability to cause the walls to come down. The same as He did with Joshua. There's the final thought here on that. Verse 32. So he's talking about all these people of faith. And he says, what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, and obtained promises and shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and from weakness were made strong and became mighty in war and put foreign armies to flight. The NIV, when it says performed acts of righteousness, it says it in a way that makes it easier for us to understand. It says administered justice. See, he's calling you to administer justice because, see, where there's injustice, he's wanting to release justice. He's wanting to release justice because somebody would stand up and say, I'll do it. Somebody would stand up and say, I'll go. He's looking for somebody who will come and make a difference in the world around them and release justice into the situations because his nature is justice. His nature is love. His nature is to be a light, and he's looking to release that light and that love and that truth into a situation and call forth justice on the behalf of the one who needs it. Do you realize that he's called you as a king? Because the one who administers justice is the same one the Bible calls a king. The job of the king. The job of the king is to administer justice. So see, you're walking in your priestly calling and in your heavenly calling when you operate in this dual citizenship because you get to operate as a king. Releasing justice in this earth. Releasing the justice of heaven. And sometimes the justice of heaven looks a little different than our justice. Sometimes the justice of heaven takes someone who's guilty and calls them restored. Sometimes the justice of heaven takes someone who's guilty and calls them innocent. Because, see, the justice of heaven sees more than just the past, sees more than just today, but it sees the future. See, the justice of heaven called someone else to pay the price for your sin. Called someone else to pay the price. Bear up under the burden of your pain. The justice of heaven looks a little different, maybe, than what you and I would assign. But he wants to give us the eyes to see, the heart to hear, the heart to understand, the ears to hear what he has actually called us to do. To stand in his righteousness, to decree his word, and to release his intercession. Because we're dual citizens. Citizens of this place. Of this earth, giving us an authority here in this earth, and citizens of heaven, giving us also an authority to operate in the Spirit. This is what he's called us to do. And I hope and I pray that each of us can embrace our purpose. That each of us will stand up and say, Lord, count me in. Lord, I'll go. As Isaiah said, I'll go. Lord, send me. His love for you is without end. His increase comes from that love. That's why he made you a dual citizen. You're not waiting for the sweet by and by. Right now. Right here. Right today. His love is flowing to you and in you.